Welcome to this week's message. I'm Malcolm Baxter, Senior Pastor of Heart Church, and I'm so glad you're here. Whether you've been coming for years or it's your first time on the podcast, we hope this inspires you.
Amen. What a great song. I love it because it speaks of obviously the fact that we're adopted, and as we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're adopted into God's family. But I love it also because it's a song of declaration and empowering us to speak truth to lies. And that actually really leads nicely into today's vision series topic, which is the power of biblical confession. And we had a great time last week looking at the power of my story. And I was just so inspired listening to those stories. And I was also inspired that people were inspired to start sharing their story. So today is inspired and comes from the story of David and Goliath. That's in 1 Samuel 17. Now, we're not going to read that whole scripture there. I'm just going to point you there and pull out some bits. We've spent quite a bit of time over these last months in the account of David. Many of us, I think even if you're not used to coming to church, many of us are aware of the story of David and Goliath, this young man coming against this giant. And we see that Goliath is this towering man, and he comes and he says to David in verse 43, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." Now, obviously, that's not what I want to focus on. I want to focus on David's response to that. He said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, and I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head." And this was the inspiration behind this topic, to help us engage with this dynamic where at the same time we are speaking to God and to ourselves. We're speaking to our own spirit. David was encouraging himself in the face of curses and intimidation from Goliath. David encouraged himself with who God is and what he is able to do. And essentially, that's what today's message is about. I am looking to see that you are empowered. This isn't just about a nice little message to get you through. This is about equipping you with some tools to help you in the way you live your life. And I think I want to start by saying, you know, whatever we say about the, as it were, the power of biblical confession, in order for this to have relevance, we need to first understand that the Bible, the Word of God, isn't just some wise words on the printed page. The words in this book have power. And they have power to change you from the inside out. And they have the power to cause circumstances to shift. This isn't just something that we can pick up and give or take. This is something that should be in our armory of life. In the book of Hebrews, The writer says here, for the word of God is alive and active. It's alive. So this looks like it's words printed on a page like any book. But actually, this word is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. In other words, there is nothing that can impact me like this can. There's nothing that can get to the deepest part of who I am like the word of God can. Isaiah 55 says, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there. We've had some rain today, so you've got a visual. I've arranged that little visual for you there. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. So in other words, we have to, for this to have any relevance to you and your life, you've got to understand that there is power in the word of God. And that in fact, this moment in itself has the power to be transformative. This is not a motivational talk. Am I hoping that you will be motivated? Of course. But the truth is, there is a release of the word of God that is meant to be transformative in our lives. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. In other words, there is something that empowers me against my battle with sin when I have hidden the word of God in my heart, when I absorb the word of God into my life. It's the word of God that has become part of me that is powerful when confessed. Verse 12 there of 119 says, praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. There's something that as the word of God flows from my mouth, from your mouth, there is power that is released. So why is confession important? And I do believe that speaking out, listen, I've said many times, I absolutely am an introvert. I can spend a lot of time in my head. I do more thinking than I do speaking. But when it comes to this, there is importance, no matter what your personality, that you actually speak out the word of God. You can speak it out quietly if you want to, but get in the habit of speaking it out. Proverbs 18, verse 21 says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So this implies that words have the power to create good, life, or evil, death in our lives. Both Goliath and David used words. Goliath cursed David. You will notice that when a blessing is spoken, we speak out blessing. So curses have power because they're spoken out. Blessings have power because they're spoken out. David came against the death words of Goliath with the life words that come from God. We will have what we say. If we speak, so death, we will reap it. If we speak words of life, then life will be released and we will reap the benefits. Faith and belief, when it comes to the confession of the scripture, faith and belief are essential. Our heart and our mouth need to be aligned. Let me say it this way. You know, I think most of us would be able to tell the difference in this scenario. If someone says, I love you, then generally speaking, you can tell whether that's just words or whether it comes from a genuine, authentic place. When the heart and the mouth are aligned, it's like, I don't know, it feels different. It's almost like we're wired to know and sense when something of that impact is genuine, authentic, and authentic. So I wanna help us understand that just speaking out God's word like some magic mantra over a situation isn't gonna work. It's not like, oh, okay, maybe this will work, I don't know. Let's try this. It doesn't work like that. It's got to come from an engagement between what I've absorbed, I've received the word of God into my heart. It's not just words in my mouth. I'm not just reading off a page over a situation. And if I am reading off a page, then my heart has to be engaged with what I'm reading. Speaking out God's word is not about manipulating God to do my will. In other words, I've got a plan, I've got a desire, this is the outcome that I would like. Now I'm going to find some scriptures to back up the thing I would like, and I'm now going to start speaking those out to add power to the thing that I want. I understand that if you're thinking that, you're missing the point. That is not the way it works. So, for instance, in Psalm 43, the Bible says this, that there I will go to the altar of God, to God, the source of all my joy. I will praise you with my harp, O God, my God. This is actually one of the reasons that I love the Psalms. It's so honest. It says things to the point. But here we have a prayer that's being prayed here that it's a decision, a challenge that there I will go. It means I'm speaking to myself. I will go. And I will go to God who is the source of my joy. So what is happening as I'm speaking this out, I'm aligning myself with what God has said. It's like coming on the back of, like, I don't feel like it. I don't want to go. I don't feel like going to church today. It's raining. I would rather just stay in bed, you know, have a duvet day or whatever. But, you know, you guys, you are warriors because you have made it out of bed. You've made it through the rain. You are here. But, and for all those who are watching online later, listen, the Lord loves you and forgives you, and that's all fine. But there is I speak to my soul. I speak to my soul so that I can align myself with what God desires for me. So that means that it may have taken a lot of effort. Listen, if we're honest, it is not every time that we come to worship or come to praise God that we even feel like it. Okay, we've made it here. Well, I hope you're happy, God, because I made it. You know, that sometimes just making it here is a significant act of worship. But I don't feel like it, but there is power here that I can say, you know what? I will go to the altar. According to your word, you are, Lord, I don't feel it right now, but you are the source of my joy. Your word says that you're the source of my joy. So I'm not feeling joy right now, but I'm aligning myself not with the way I feel, but with what your word says. Goes on to say in verse 5, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. I make a decision to question my emotional state. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? God, you're good. I'm going to put my hope in you. I've got all this going on in my life. I'm facing all these situations. I feel overwhelmed right now, but I am not focusing on my feelings. I'm focusing on your word. I am confessing your word. I will put my hope in God. I will. This week, maybe some of you are facing some situations that are making you feel anxious or you're under pressure. You can right there, you can say, no, I am not allowing this situation like Goliath comes against me, trying to intimidate me, trying to bring me down. I'm going to be like David and say, yeah, I know what you're doing. Devil, I know what you're doing, but I will put my hope in God. He's my Savior. Now, there are, as it were, I think, because what I'm speaking about this morning isn't like brand new information. And I think that some of us have engaged with it in various forms. But I also think that sometimes we get a little bit out of kilter with it. So I want to just go to a place where there's a couple of situations where people will confess scripture. I've called it the treasures and the traps of Philippians 4. The treasures and the traps of Philippians 4. Again, for the sake of time, I'm not going to work through every line of this chapter, but Paul, in writing to the Philippian church, the Apostle Paul writing to the Philippian church, great, great verses that many of you will have heard, maybe didn't even realize where it was from. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. You know, whenever the Bible says something again, that's like bold capital letters underlined. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. I pause there. I just feel like as I'm speaking this, these words are speaking to somebody's soul today. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now listen, this is a preach in itself. Right here, this is a preach. But there are some real instructions here that help us to get something out of this scripture. And, you know, like if you want to bake a cake and you've got a recipe, the only way you're going to get the cake is if you follow the recipe. No one puts the recipe on a plate and calls it a cake. Because in order to get the cake, you've got to have done what the recipe said. So this is a recipe. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. It doesn't say rejoice in the Lord sometimes. It said rejoice in the Lord always. Now, I can think of many situations where I wouldn't want to rejoice, but the word of God is saying to me, listen, through the Spirit, I can give you capacity to rejoice in whatever situations you are facing. There is something about rejoicing that impacts your perspective. So you, even though you won't feel like it, if you can find a place of rejoicing, then you will be in a better perspective. And I say, and this is so important, I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. I could talk about every one of these. Do not be anxious about anything. Being anxious means that I'm out of step with God. I cannot be both anxious and trusting God at the same time. So I have got to let go of one or let go of the other. I'm either choosing to be anxious or I'm choosing not to, I'm choosing to trust the Lord. And therefore, I've got to let go of anxiety. And in every situation, bring prayer and petition. Both prayer and the petition there is a kind of prayer that is based from a place of great need, where we're calling out from a place of great need. But even from that place, I pray with thanksgiving and present my requests to God. And then it says, this is the cake and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, if you can find a way of doing these things with the Lord, then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, which is fantastic. Now, in taking you to verse 13, this is something that you will often hear Christians say, I can do all things through him. Oh, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. We say it, don't we? Oh, hallelujah. Bless God, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. This is one of the traps, I would say, because it's actually in the context of where Paul is saying, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. It's pointing to all that. No matter what I'm facing, whether in lack or plenty, I've learned the secret of being content. It doesn't mean if I just pluck that out, I can do all things. Because you know what? I can't fly a plane. And I know someone's going to be saying, oh, well, if Jesus wants me to fly a plane, I can fly a plane. And I'm saying, and you're flying alone. Because I'm not coming with you. I'm flying with someone. I need all the faith I've got to fly with someone who knows how to fly a plane. Never mind you who's giving it a go for Jesus. So the truth is that that is one of the traps, that we can take things out of context and misuse it. And that's not working for us, it's working against us. There's a similar situation in verse 19. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Now, that, again, is a great scripture, and I believe it, but it's in the context of sacrificial generosity towards God and his people. If you've read those verses before, I've received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs. So there is a context for that. We can't just pluck things out and use them however we want to. Are you with me? So I'm excited because this is not just some random teaching in that Jesus actually did it. This is something that Jesus modeled, and he understood the power of biblical confession as he stood against the temptations of the devil. And I want to say again that these were already in him and part of him when the devil came. When the devil came, Jesus didn't just I know it's in here somewhere. You know what? It wasn't that. He had the word in his heart. So when the enemy turned up, he was ready to give in the moment what it was. When the devil said, "If you are the Son of God," verse 3, "and tell this stone to come become bread," Jesus answered, "It is written." Notice he didn't try to fight the enemy in his own strength. He used the word of God to come against the lies of the devil. It is written, which is from Deuteronomy 8:3, "Man shall not live by bread alone." The devil led him to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all the authority and splendor has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will be yours." And Jesus answered, "It is written," from Deuteronomy 6:13, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the son of God, he said, "throw yourself down from here. Watch this, for it is written." Notice the devil uses scripture, Psalm 91, the devil uses scripture to deceive and mislead. The devil is quoting the Bible. He said, "He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." That's another sermon for another day. But be assured that the enemy will use scripture against you. But Jesus was wise enough to understand what he was hearing. Even though he was hearing scripture, his spirit recognized this was not coming from the right place. It wasn't coming from the right source. And Jesus said, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." So he was equipped. Jesus models something to which the Apostle Paul later teaches. In Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 17, where he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God." And let me take you to verse 16. "In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation," and watch this, "the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So if we are going to stand and take authority over the situations that would seek to intimidate us and come against us, then we must have an understanding of the power of the word of God and the power that it has when it is released from our mouth. What is incredible to me is that the word of God is as powerful in my mouth as it is in his mouth. Isn't that incredible? Because the word of God will do what the word of God will do. With the sword of the Spirit, we overcome the attacks of the enemy. With the sword of the Spirit, we overcome temptation, fear, anxiety, jealousy, lust. If we are going to take our stand against those things, then we need to do so in the name of Jesus using the word of God. I think sometimes we leave ourselves vulnerable because we're trying to, in our own strength, stand against the enemy and his schemes. We're never going to win. We're never going to succeed. We need to take the sword of the word of the Spirit and take our stand against the devil's schemes. The confession of scripture isn't just a religious ritual, but a powerful spiritual practice which enables believers to walk in alignment with God's will. So how does that work practically? How do I outwork that in my life? Well, a lot of the times, I actually use scripture as part of my prayer. So I use it to form part of my confession, kind of, a bit like Jesus. It is written, therefore, from that kind of approach. So like in Romans 8:28, I might say, Lord God, you know, your word says that we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And Lord, right now, I'm not sure what I feel about this situation that I'm working through. There's a lot about this situation that doesn't feel good, but your word tells me that all things are working for my good. And so, Father, I'm choosing to trust, not in the way I feel, but in what you said. I am confessing over myself. I'm confessing over this situation that this situation isn't taking me down. That's the way the enemy wants me to feel. But I am confessing in Jesus' name that this situation is working for my good. Is that helpful? There are certain times, and I've just picked out a few. You've got the Bible, but these are some things that I have used. You know, this one I have used over and over. I've used it by confession. I've used it in my own personal meditation. And this scripture has helped me to manage my racing thoughts and help me to embrace the peace that God intends for me. And it's very simple, from Isaiah 26:3. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And sometimes I've just had to say, Lord, you're keeping me in perfect peace. You're keeping me in perfect peace. You've promised that you will keep me in perfect peace. And because I'm putting my mind on you and I'm trusting in you, my mind is stayed on you. You keep in perfect peace. And I use this as a weapon against the racing thoughts that are trying to take me down a road that I don't want to go. Psalm 118, verse 17, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Psalm 103, verses 2-3, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Sometimes I've had to say that to myself when I've been down and my heart is heavy and I've had to speak to myself that the psalmist isn't praying to God, he's speaking to himself. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Sometimes I've got to speak to my soul. Praise the Lord and forget not his benefits. Remind yourself of the good things that God does. Remind yourself of the ways God has helped you in the past. He is the one who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Psalm 23, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. God, it doesn't feel like it right now, but I am declaring that no matter what it feels like, even though I'm walking through the darkest valley, you are with me, and your rod and your staff will comfort me. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. God, I don't know how you do that, but somehow you've gone ahead of me and yet you're with me. In this situation, you've gone ahead of me. You're making a way for me. Therefore, you say here, he will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. My God, everything in me right now wants to be afraid. Everything in me now wants to be discouraged. But God, because of your word, I am choosing. I confess what you have said. Your word in my mouth will change this situation. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord, come on somebody, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. I can't even begin to tell you how many times I have spoken these words over my heart and over my life. And I found the renewing strength of God surge my soul and give me hope again. There is power in the Word of God. There is power in confessing the Word of God, and it will bring power for your life. My time's gone. God bless you.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this message. To find out more about Heart Church, visit heart.church. Be sure to subscribe and share this podcast with your friends. Thanks for listening, and have a blessed week.